The Torah content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions.
Okay, so just for today, at least, we're doing the Rambam in Sefer Shoftim Hilchos Avil, chapter 13, the halachos about comforting the mourner, okay? Which I just got through saying that I have not done inside in a long time. This is chapter 13 out of 14. So like, there might be some stuff he said before. And also you have to realize there's a lot of stuff in Avilus that is minhag dependent. So if there's stuff here that seems radically different from what we do, then it might just be because there's different minhagim and such, but that's kind of what I want to dive into this. Okay. Ketzeh menachamin es ha'avelin. How do we comfort the mourners? Good question. Achar shekovrin es ha'meis, after we bury the dead, miskabsim ha'avelin ba'omdim b'tzad beis ha'kvaros, then the mourners gather and stand to the side of the graveyard, the cemetery. And all who accompanied the dead, all the people who escorted the dead, stand in two rows of lines, one before the other. And there's no line fewer than 10. And the mourners do not count. Okay, so this is like at the cemetery, making two lines. The mourners stand to the left of the comforters. I'm having a hard time picturing this for a second. Yeah.
Who's left?
To the left of the comforters, but I'm not sure what that means.
They're on the side of the grave.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not getting a clear picture here. Let's read to the halacha to the end, and then I'll check the English. And all of the comforters come to the mourners one by one, and they say, well, here's the difference in the minhag, right, is that Ashkenazim are accustomed to say, and I think Sephardim follow the Rambam, that they say something either, Tinuchamu min hashamayim, may you be comforted from heaven, or min hashamayim tinuchamu, right, or from heaven may you be comforted. Let's just get a basic idea of what nechama is. So the, you know, what it means to comfort. I mean, cause I think people just automatically think of it in terms of like making feelings nice, you know? But the Hebrew word root of nun ches mem has two other meanings. One is comfort, and then there's two more that use in tanach. While you tell me. Nun ches mem means either comfort or this or that. Yeah. See if I can find. I think I gave Shira this in the summer.
Mercy?
Say again?
Not mercy.
No. What do you say? Oh, this is the wrong thing. Let's see. I gave Shira on this. Why do I not? Oh, because I wrote about it. Hold on. Did I write about it?
I believe we learned about it in our Harusha.
So it also means, hold on, there's a good, oh, here we go. Yeah. So it means, comfort or consolation, regret or remorse is another one. So Hashem says, I will erase mankind from whom I created, from upon the face of the earth, for I regret having made them. I regret having made them. And then no man feels remorse over his evil. And then also to change your mind. That's when Hashem was going to destroy Bnei Israel for the Chayde Egel. And then he changed Vayinachem Hashem al hara asher dibir lasos lemo. Yeah. So what do those three have in mind, in common? I mean,
I feel like presumably saying that what makes sense is to say that comfort is really sort of a mortification to make someone remorse.
Comfort is more, say it again?
As in to make someone remorseful.
Comfort makes someone be remorseful?
Whereas in my mind, like you can think of changing one's mind could easily fit into remorse. So really go with the three. I could fit the other two both into remorse.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Well, so you're fitting them under remorse.
I would say it a little differently. I would say, well, regret and remorse are similar as in your changing your mind.
Yeah.
And then comfort would be trying to change someone else's mind, I guess.
Okay. So Rav Hirsch agrees with Akiva. Okay. Rav Hirsch says the root nachem has a unique meaning. Nachem in the PL form means to comfort. He nachem in the Hinachem in the Nifal means to be comforted. Another meaning to alter one's decisions regarding some future action. A third meaning to have remorse for something one has done. The primary meaning is to change one's mind. By extension, this is what you're saying. By extension, we get remorse when you thought this was a good idea and you change your mind and it's not, and change in decision. Consolation two changes the way one feels about something that has happened. Right. So then the question then is, what would it mean for, where's the PDF here? For to be comforted from heaven, or to be, in other words, if you look at comfort from the perspective of changing your mind, what would it mean to be comforted from heaven or to be comforted by God?
Recognizing.
Could you say that it's
this is, I'm honestly like not all part of God's plan, but like it's a natural thing that happens.
Okay, so let's put this way, right? So there's gonna be something where, yeah, Chaim.
Yeah, could you say that it's like
the audio is on the wrong setting. Speakers and volume. Yeah, go ahead. I think I can hear you now.
Yeah, could you say that in a sense it's a. I just forgot the word we use for it, but that like it's it like reconfigures the way that you think about the passing of the person or the state that you're in right now.
Yeah.
Of so, like loss.
So, and what's the element of Min HaShemayim or Mi Hashem?
Maybe from like a vantage point of God's, like in the kind of like a tefillah way, but like a thinking about what death means in the context of God. And like, to me, it reminds me, I was just going through these halakos over Shabbos because I came home, you know, I came to Detroit to be Menachem Avil for Yeshua.
Yeah.
And then there's a halakha that is often quoted, I feel, that the Shulchan Aruch brings out, it seems kind of harsh, about like the 3 days for crying.
Yeah.
Seven from the for Shiva and for eulogizing. Right. And that the Rambam says anybody who cries excessively.
I'm just going to read what you're referring to because I have it here.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so the Rambam.
So just reminded me of that, yeah.
Yeah, I'll read it and then you can say what your insight was. So the Rambam says, in terms of the program, that you have, he's al yiskasha adam al meso yesh midai. Person shouldn't be hard on himself about a death excessively. Okay, shnemar al tivkul lemeso al tenudulo. It's a raya, which I'm not going to go into right now. Klomar, yesh midai. Shezehu min hagosh olam. This is the way of the world. Death is the way of the world. If you suffer because of the way of the world, then you're an idiot. Okay, that's what Chaim Menuhin said. Harsh. Rather, what should you do? 3 days for crying. Shiva lehesped. Seven, meaning from 3 to 7 is eulogizing. Shloshim yom letisporos l'shar hamisha. And then 30 days for not cutting your hair and the other five halakhos of shloshim. Then he says the opposite extreme. Anyone who does not mourn according to the guidelines of the Chachamim is cruel or indifferent. So you can't be overly emotional to the point where you're suffering based on the way of the world, because that's idiocy. You also can't be, you can't not do these things, because then that indicates a different kind of defect, which is cruelty or indifference. Yeah, so Chaim, what were you going to segue from there into for the...
Yeah. I was just gonna say that part of this process seems like it's reframing it in a minhag sholom kind of way. So I feel like getting comfort from heaven is like recognizing that, you know, there's like a justice and there's a divine justice, and that God has like a systems, and that death is part of that system.
Right.
And if you reframe it that way, and you don't take it as like a personal thing, you know.
Right.
Then I feel like someone could find comfort in that.
Yeah. So ultimately it's going to have to be getting your, when the death is fresh in your mind, then all of your subjective emotions are awakened and you're not thinking logically and you're blowing things out of proportion and everything like that. And that's natural. And halakha does not try to suppress that. It allows you to cry for 3 days and to mourn for, eulogize for 7 days and then have shloshim for that. But if at a certain point, and look, everyone grieves differently and all the circumstances are different and there's no script. So I wouldn't take this as a like condemnatory, like you're a bad person if you cry on day four, you know, like it's not like that. It's I think sometimes when you are grieving, part of you does wonder like, is this normal? Is this not? What is baseline? What is the, you know, and this is really like saying the blueprint of what a healthy morning looks like in terms of Torah. Person might not always be able to get there. Like, you know, if you have a horrifically tragic, you know, death, it might take you a lot longer than that. But the destination is being comforted from heaven, which means seeing things in an objective way, which is two things. One is seeing the place of death in the world, but the other is what the Rambam goes on to say, you should fear, worry, and analyze your actions and return into teshuvah. And then this segues into something that I've been thinking about lately also. If someone in your chavura dies, and chavura to my mind is anyone who you have a connection with who is not one of the seven relatives you mourn for, like who you actually do avelos for. So this could be like a good friend. This could be a peer. This could be, you know, an acquaintance, anyone along those lines. Tigdag kula chavura kula. Then the entire group should worry in that manner and do tshuva. And then he says, for the first 3 days, you should see yourself as though the sword is on your neck. Or in modern terms, that there's a gun to your head. Okay. Mishlosha ba'ad shiva, from 3 to 7, munachas b'keren zavis, you should see the sword as though it's in sitting in the corner. And then mikan ve'elach, and from then and on, ovirs kenegdo bashuk. It's like passing by you in the marketplace. Okay. Like, you know, you see, like, what's that sword? You know, kol ze, all of this is kede. Now there's two girsahs here. This says kede lahachin atmo lachzor, in order for you to prepare yourself to return. But then the Shalat, good one, says, I mean, that was from the Tame anyone also. This is Kadeh Lahavin Da'ato Velachzor, in order that you should understand your mind and return, which I think is a little bit, the other one makes more sense to me, but understanding your mind happens to fit in line with the way that Chaim is describing it, of like understanding that your own mind has its own way of processing these things and understanding like where that comes from. But then the key is v'yat lachzor, is to do tshuva v'yeor mishnasa, and wake up from your sleep. Shenemar, as it says, hikisa osam v'lo chalo, that Yirmiyahu says to God, you struck them and they did not tremble. Michlal, this implies shetarech lahakis v'lachu, that you need to wake up and tremble. And going back to what we were saying before, comforting is not just changing your theoretical understanding of how death fits into the world, but also using this as an opportunity to align yourself with the Ratzon Hashem and realizing your own mortality. Like, that's however you understand the sword idea. It's the basic idea that you are subject to mortality, and you know, you could, this could have been you. You could die at any minute also, and it's going to wear off. That's how it goes from your neck to the corner to the market. It's only natural that it wears off, but you have to take that and use as impetus for tshuva to the extent that you can. And that's also, you know, using this as a way to frame yourself in God's framework. Chaim, is that left over hand, or do you have more to say? I'll assume that it was left over hand.
Yeah, that was left over.
Okay, fine. Yeah, that's good. Let me just read one more here, because I think that is, this is the last one about mourning proper, I think, or comforting proper. Oh, sorry. No. Havelim omnim lismolim. We read that. Okay. The achrakah cholicha avel leveso. Then the mourner goes home. V'chol yom v'yom yishiva yimei havelus. V'ayim b'nei adam l'nachmov. Each and every set of the day of the 7 days, people come to comfort him. Bein shabal panim chadashas, bein shalo bal. That's interesting. You know, when I was learning with Yoshua about all the wedding stuff, there's all these like connections between the weddings and funerals. Like, you know, Moshe was masaking the 7 days of party for a wedding and the 7 days of Avelos. And this, I've never seen Panim Chadashos in the context of a mourning. That's interesting. What that to me signifies, anyone have an idea about why he would bring in the Havmina? That would you not comfort them if it's not for Panim Chadashos? Like, it's a weird Havmina. No, the Havmina is, you only come to comfort them if there are new people, but not if there aren't. And then come on, no, it doesn't matter whether there are new people or not.
I would only new people.
Yeah, I'll give you a hint from the wedding. So what's the idea of panim chadashos at the wedding? Or not at the wedding, at the Sheva Brachos?
For each time?
Yeah. I also didn't know this until I learned with Yoshua. So
I have an assumption.
Sure.
I was thinking about this before you said that you can see the connection by Sheva Brachos, but maybe you could say that like you want to not only show, but like also like increase in the simcha and like spread it out to more people and then show the lesson and call like, and look, you have these friends and those friends and look who's coming new and look who's, you know. And then I was thinking, you know, that like doing that by Shiva would maybe be I had a different thought by that.
Okay. But never mind. I mean, I was thinking along similar lines as you. So with the wedding, just halakhically, you do the Sheva brachos at the chuppah, and then you only do the Sheva brachos at the meals if there are new people. So the idea is that people who miss the wedding can also partake of hearing the Shevach of the Sheva brachos. So there is some public dimension of, like Chaim was saying, of like trying to spread whatever it is that we're trying to spread. The question is, how is that relevant in Avelos, you know, especially in Nechama, because you would think Nechama is for the mourners, not for the new people, or not like the new people who are coming. So I don't know if this is a Kavod Hames thing or what. So that's something to think about. And then let's just read one more and then we'll stop for today. Ha'evil Mesiv Barosh, the mourner sits at the head. I don't know the head of what. V'ein Hamarachmin Roshayim Leishiv Ela Al Gabi Akarka. And the comforters only sit on the floor. We don't do this anymore. At least we don't do this. Shnemar v'yishul ito la'aretz. That's we learn a lot of these from Eov, that Eov's friend sat on the ground. V'inan rashayin lomar davar ad sheyiftach evil as piv t'chila. They are not permitted to say anything until the mourner opens his mouth first. Shnemar v'in dover elav davar. Because of acharav, acharichein pasach Eov as pihu v'yikalo as yomo. Eov's friend sat there in silence for 7 days. And then afterwards he opened his mouth. They didn't say anything to him. And then he opened his mouth and he cursed his day, which, you know, I don't think the mourners have to do. Vayan Eliphaz, and then Eliphaz spoke after that. Once the mourner nods his head, shuv ein hamanachmim rishayim leishiv, that's low. Then the comforters are not allowed to sit near him. Shelo yatrichehu yasar midai, so that they don't burden him more than excessively. That's another thing also, is like overburdening the mourners. You have that, saw that in experience?
Or both.
Yeah. That's an important thing. Yeah. Yep. The worst is when a person comes in and hijacks the Shiva house and is just oblivious to social cues. That's not good. Yeah. The worst case of that I saw was one of my students lost his mother. And, you know, sometimes like people are in the like mood of like telling happy stories about the person who died. So this Rav came in and started like drama crying, and then started singing a niggun and trying to get everyone to sing, and it was just totally not reading the room. Not a good move. Yeah. And then I'll do this one last one because that's the end of the section. Meis she'en lo avelim hisnachem, a dead person who doesn't have anyone to comfort. Who doesn't have mourners to comfort. Ba'im asara b'nei adam k'sherim v'yoshim b'mekomo koshiv esim ha'avelos. So you bring 10 people to sit there in place of the avel, in place of the mourner for all days of the avelos, ushar amis kabsim aleim, and other people gather on to him. Imlo hayu sham asara kvuim, if there are not 10 fixed people, b'chol yom v'yom miskabsim asara mishar ha'am v'yoshim b'mekomo. Then you like switch them out as long as you have 10. So that does show that there is a public dimension of, if there is no mourner, you designate a mourner, you know, not a mourner, you designate 10 people to serve as the avelim that people comfort. So it shows that there is a communal element to the mourning thing. And I actually, one of the things I want to explore is, since I'm a ger and I'm not halakhically related to my parents, then I am not going to be sitting Shiva when they die. And so I have not looked into like halakhic loopholes for this, but you know, my dad is Jewish, so he has siblings, even though they're not religious. My mom is not Jewish and she has no siblings. So I wonder if I can do a thing where I am one of the 10 and I can sit and be comforted for her because she doesn't have any mourners, which is an interesting halakhic loophole. You know, I haven't asked the Shiloh about that yet, but something to do. Okay, that was practical. All right, let's stop here for today. All right, thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Yep, thanks.
Mama.
Thank
you.
If you've gained from what you've learned here today, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/RabbiSchneeWeiss. Alternatively, if you would like to make a direct contribution to the Rabbi Schneeweiss Torah Content Fund, my Venmo is @Matt-Schneeweiss, and my Zelle/Chase QuickPay and PayPal are MattSchneeweiss@gmail.com. Even a small contribution goes a long way to covering the cost of my podcast and will provide me with the financial freedom to produce even more Torah content for you. If you would like to sponsor an article, shiur, or podcast episode, or if you are interested in enlisting my services as a teacher or tutor, you can reach me at rabbischneeweiss@gmail.com. Thank you to my listeners for listening. Thank you to my readers for reading. And thank you to my supporters for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.